Oh, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. The very first thing, the most important thing we should do is to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, do you like shopping? Yes. Yes. That's interesting. I'm not all that keen on shopping, really. I'm one of those people who, you know, when you go to a shop, I know what I want. And I go straight for it, and I get it, and I take it to the checkout, and I pay for it. I know there are certain people who go into a shop, and they go, oh, wow. And thereafter, they say, oh, look, I'd like that, but it's not my colour. Oh, that's too expensive for me. Oh, well, perhaps it isn't. And there is one member of our family that nobody will go shoe shopping with because of that. Well, here's my shopping bag. And I'm thinking that in here we might have a clue as to what actually Jesus means when he talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. Things that help us to understand what it is that we should be looking for, what we should be seeking as Christians. The most important thing, the number one thing that we should go for. Let's have a look. Right, well, we've got here. Oh, this is interesting. Right, what's this? A map. Thank you. Okay, what's it a map of?
England.
Was it a map of? Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Yes, where you've been living all these years. It has got England, but the Scots would not be very happy with it. This is where you've been living. And we tend to think of this country as being very important. What are the other names that we call our country? We call it Great Britain, but we call it something else. Yes? United Kingdom. Lots of people think of a kingdom as a place. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the kingdom of God as a place. Are we going to be thinking what he does say it's about? Now, I need a king. Somebody like to come and be a king? Just have to put a crown on, that's all. Somebody wants to be a king or a queen? You'd like to be a queen, wouldn't you? Come on. Never work with... Yes, here we are. Oh, doesn't she look wonderful? Your name is... Esther. All hail Queen Esther! Isn't she wonderful? And this is good because in our country, although we call it a kingdom, we have a queen. The most important person in our country is a king or a queen. And a queen, of course, has to do various things. She has to wave. That's you need a bit more practice than that. You know. She has to sign laws, but hang on a minute. Those laws are written by other people. She has to do what the government tells her. Over your lunch tables, perhaps you might like to talk about constitutional monarchy and what that means. But in Jesus' day, kings didn't do what other people told them to do. They did what they wanted. Here, for instance, is something that King Solomon, and we read a bit about King Solomon earlier on, how splendid he was. This is something that King Solomon might have written because he wanted to build a temple for God. And it says, "Forasmuch as it hath pleased the king to build a temple, it is decreed that 30,000 laborers be conscripted. Furthermore, that 70,000 carriers be conscripted and 80,000 stone cutters be sent to the quarries." You can read all about that in 1 Kings 5. You'd like to hold that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were queen, if you could do anything you wanted? Would you like that? Is there anybody you want to get rid of? No. But you see, in those days, kings and queens could do anything they wanted. They didn't have to rely upon other people, people who had voted them in. They were always going to be king queen or queen as long as they lived. And some of them were very, very fierce and they were very powerful. They could do things to people who wouldn't follow their laws. Imagine people who didn't do what King Solomon said. All sorts of things could happen to them. For instance, now, I'm looking for some particularly unsavoury character who might be... Nate, would you like to... The hands, Nate. There you are, you see. If Nate didn't do what you wanted, you could put him in chains and take him away and put him in prison. You could do that in those days if you were a king or a queen. Now, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about the reign of God. He's talking about a king. In the Old Testament, Solomon wrote, "A king's wrath strikes terror, like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives." Jesus told us to pray the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, we have an explanation of what it means to call God King. That God's name should be hallowed. We should worship God. We should follow God. We should do what God wants. And we should always hold his name as being important. But he also said, Jesus said in his prayer, that God's kingdom should come. And then he explained what that meant. That God's will, which he does in heaven, should be done on earth. That whatever God decides in heaven should be done on earth. He's that sort of king, powerful and strong and important. And that's how we should always think of God. Okay. Wouldn't you like to go and sit down? Please return the crown. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God because he knew, because he'd come from God, just how powerful and strong God really is. And it's the reign of God which is the kingdom of God. But Jesus went on from there. When he first started talking about the kingdom of God, he talked about the good news of the kingdom. And the good news of the kingdom, he said, was this, that God had sent him to be the king. Jesus said that he'd come as the great king, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, the name Christ, we talk about Jesus Christ. Christ is not a surname. Christ is a title, and it means the anointed king. And this anointed king was amazing because he did something very strange once. This towel was given to me in El Salvador, and it was bought by some people who were helping people who had to drink very nasty water, and that's the whole point of this river running through here with people washing in it. But it's a towel which speaks of service, of care for other people. One day, Jesus took a towel. It wouldn't have been as nice as this. It would probably have been a bit ragged. And he did something very strange. He wrapped it around himself. And when he did that, after he did that, he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, "This is an example to you of what you should do. I'm doing this because I am your king and your master, and you should do the same as I have done for you." When he said he'd come to seek and to save that which was lost, when he came to not to be served but to serve, this is what he meant, to really look after people and to help them. He was going to be a different sort of king. He'd been born in humility. He'd been born in poverty. He served people. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He himself died to pay the penalty for our disobedience and for our failure to live the lives that we should live because God is our King. We often think of Christianity having a symbol, the symbol of the cross, and it's right that we have that. But the symbol for us as Christians should also be the towel that we're there to serve God and other people. It was so important that Jesus was like this as a king that his first disciples wrote a song about it. And we've got that song in Philippians 2. This is the song that they sing, or at least the words to it. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him to the highest place and has given him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what Jesus is like. One day he will come back as the great conquering king, but he is the king who calls us to be his subjects and to live for him. You see, when we talk about seeking the kingdom and it being the first thing we ought to do, all of us need to take Jesus as our king. It means that we should surrender to him, that we should make him the king of our lives, that we should believe in him, that he died for our sins to pay the price for our failures and our sin. And we should receive the Holy Spirit who helps us to live for King Jesus from now on. Now, Jesus told a couple of stories about why it's important that it should be the first thing that we do. Somebody like to come and help me? Yeah, come on in. Do you know what that is? No. Would you like to hold it up? What do you think's inside? Shake it. Money, yes, of course. Jesus told the story about a man who was in a field one day, and he was walking along and, you know, just not minding his own business, and suddenly he found some treasure. And it probably was something like this, just a bag. Hold it right up. Just a money bag. And he looked inside and he saw the treasure and he saw that nobody else was about. So he put it back where he found it, probably under a bush or probably under a little bit of earth. And he went off and he bought the field. Now, he probably bought the field to say, this is my field and the treasure in it is mine. Jesus said that's what it's like when you think about the kingdom of God. It's so important that you have to sell what you have and go after it. That means make it the most important thing in your life. But he also told another story at the same time about something else. Do you know what that is? At vast expense, all the way from Whitstable, we have a genuine oyster shell with a pearl inside. Would somebody like to come and hold this up? Yes, thank you. See, this is really good, isn't it? That pearl there, and you see there's the oyster. It's actually a bit of blue tack, but never mind. You can hold the top as well. Hold it right up so everyone can see. Jesus said there was a merchant, somebody who knew all about pearls, and he saw one day that somebody was going to sell a pearl of great price. Hold it up. Really expensive pearl. Now, the most important, the most expensive pearl in the world today doesn't look like that. It's just this sort of odd sort of mass, like something that somebody's made out of plasticine or something. And it's costing £80 million for a pearl. Now, the pearl that Jesus was talking about probably wasn't that much, but There's still, it was the most expensive pearl the man had ever seen. And you know what he did? He sold everything. He sold all his pearls and all the things that he owned so that he could buy this really expensive pearl. And Jesus says, make the kingdom of God, make following Jesus the most important thing you ever do. Okay, would you like to go and sit down? Let's give them a clap because they did well, didn't they? Thank you. So how are we going to work this out? What are we going to do as Christians to show that we put Jesus first? That the kingdom of God, God's reign in our lives, is the most important thing. We get a couple of clues in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian Christians this. He prayed that they might live a life worthy of the Lord and might please him in every way. We as God's people need to serve God in the way that he wants us to do. Wherever it is, some of you may end up in different countries serving God there. You might go all around the world, or you might stay here. But it's wherever God wants you to go. We're to carry out the good things that he wants us to do. His upright wishes. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because he says, if you do that, if you seek God's kingdom first, you don't need to worry or fret about clothes or food because God will look after you. But then there's another thing. The first Christians met together, and one of the things it says about them in Acts chapter 2 is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So today is a call for people who are already Christians to devote ourselves. And sometimes I wonder if we do. You know, the weather's not too nice, I won't bother to go to church. Or, you know, it's communion on Sunday, I don't really fancy that, I won't go. Or what about the prayer meetings? Why are our prayer meetings so empty? We should devote ourselves to that. When we ask for volunteers, it would be great if people devoted themselves and did what God wanted them to do. That's what Jesus says we should do. We should seek first the kingdom. Nothing else is as important. Nothing else is number one. Seeking God's kingdom is first. You see, we as God's people are called to worship somebody who died on the cross for us. And to live for him, because he rose from the dead and one day he will come back as the great king. And the way that we show that is by doing what he did, devoting ourselves to each other and to the world, and serving the world by telling people about Jesus and by doing things that will help them. Let's pray together.